Kum lenen ablat gemara. Today's daf is daf kuflam and vav and aleph. We'll begin from kuflam and bay by the two dots, the beginning of the sugya. Five lines from the bottom. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Rab Shimon. We're still talking about the different laws aspects of bris milah. We learned in a braisa, Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says, Kol sheshah lamed yoim ba'odam ein a nefil. If a child works like this. If a child definitely is a nine-month-old child, 100% 9 months, and Rashi explains the only way you know for sure it's a nine-month child is if you had no relations with your wife after that one time, and then from that date, there's 9 months. If it's a full-fledged nine-month baby, then the baby is healthy, and if the baby happens to pass away very young, like a week or 2 weeks, we'll say that, you know, it was an aberration, but the baby was a healthy baby. But if we're not sure the child is a nine-month-old child or not, then up to 30 days, we're still not sure. The baby dies prematurely, we would say it's a nephil. It's like a miscarriage. It was halachically, technically, it was never really a living child. Never had a chance to live. So, kol sheshah lamed yoim ba'odam ein nephil. But if it lasted more than 30 days, it's no longer a nephil. Shenema. It says, when do we do pidyon haben? Upaduya miben chaydish. It says, only after a month old, tifta you should redeem. By an animal, we learned in the Torah as well. Shmoinas yamim bebehema, ein nefil. By an animal, how many days has to expire before we say it's not a nefil? 8 days have to go by. Shenema, Kadir the Pasuk says that when should you bring, if an animal has an offspring, 7 days it's with its mother. Umiyoyim hashmini v'hola, 8 days onwards, yerot to the carbon, can be used as a carbon. Tracy already said there's a difference between pidyon haben and the case of the animal. The animal is on the 8th day, it's already all right. By a pidyon haben, it's the 31st day. The first 30 days, it's still, you know, not 100%, it's only the 31st day. Says the Gemara, holoi shah, what happens if the child didn't exist, it didn't survive for 30 days or 8 days by the animal? It then is sfeikahava. It's a suffix as to what a status is. It's a living child or not. And we'll see later that for a living person, the difference is by Yavama. A Yavama, if her husband dies and she has no children, then she has to marry her brother-in-law or have a chalitza. But if she had a child, then she doesn't. What about if she had a child who died before 30 days? So it's a suffix whether it is a child and therefore she's exempt or not. And maybe she should get chalitza, as we'll see. Says Igmara, so you're telling me that a child up to 30 days, we don't know if it's going to live, is mimel heichem alin le, how can you on Shabbos circumcise an 8-day-old child, maybe the child will pass away a week later, comes out, turns out to be that the child was not really considered a living child, and you malad a child that wasn't, there was no mitzvah. And what about the Rabbah? Molin oisa mamshah. What about Rabbah comes up in the Chiddush and says that the manoshech, you're allowed to malad a child on Shabbos if the 8 days old. Also manoshech. Im chayu, if it turns out to be that the child will be a living shapik kamoil. It's all right. You circumcised. You had a mitzvah. What are you going to argue? Im la, that maybe the child is going to pass away before the 30 days and therefore was not a living child. So it was a dead child. I hold, says Rabbi Abba, that melchatech bebasaru. I hold that, so if it's a child, a dead child, even though it's alive at the time, it's a dead child, then it's like cutting a piece of meat in Shabbos. And therefore, it's mutas either way. So it's not a problem. Says Yimara, well, how did Tanya be learned? Okay, so you're telling me that if a child's a dead child, even though the child's alive, but if technically it's gonna pass away, it's technically said a dead child, and you're allowed to cut on a Shabbos. So how come? Tell me. We learned the Braisa. Sofik ben Zayin Sof Meches. We're not sure if the child was a 7-month baby, which means it will survive, or an 8-month baby, which means it definitely won't survive. It's considered a dead halachically. It's considered a dead child. It says it ain't mechallin all of the Shabbos. You're not allowed to circumcise on Shabbos. Why not? We just learned the Mishnah. Why not? Amai nimbalus. Let's circumcise the manashech. Im chayu. If it's a 7-month-old child who lived, knew you did the mitzvah. Shabbos gomoyel. And the imlav. You can tell me that why that it's not. That maybe turned out to be an 8-month-old child, and therefore it's not going to survive. Then mechater bebasser. All you do is cutting a piece of flesh. So what's the problem? More answers, you misunderstood the Braisa. Amma Marbrevina, I know I, but I'm the Chumba Bazachaya, and I'm the Chumba Zachaya, Tagimna. We understood the Braisa. And saying in the Mishnah before is Mimel Hochi Nami Mamilne. Of course, you're allowed to circumcise an eight, a suffix 7 or 8, because Manushech. Like Adam Baraba says, even if it's a dead child, all you do is like a piece of meat. What's this case over here? Now, on Shabbos, we're talking according to Rabbi Lezer, who says that you can do the Machshiri Mila, prepare the knife, carry the Shusarabim on Shabbos. And that you're not allowed to do, because if it turns out to be that it wasn't a living child, you carried on Shabbos. You did Chil Shabbos, not for a mitzvah. Even though the Mila itself is not an Aveira, because you're slicing a piece of meat, But all the malachas you did for it, that will be the aveda. Lo nitzchel le machshiri mila, your preparation of mila. The liber Rabbi Lezer, according to Rabbi Lezer, the world actually says, so how come it is that Pidyon HaBen we wait 30 days? And the reason is, it says right here, because some, you know, kid might pass away before then, turns out to be he wasn't really a living child. So why don't you wait a bris also a month? Instead of relying on this Ramanoshech, just wait till a month. Why should a Pidyon HaBen be stricter than a bris mila? So answer is very simple. There's a rule in Halacha that says when it comes to by Yisurim, we always follow majority. Halacha nachar reiv, right? But when it comes to Mammon, we have a rule in Bava Kamma and other places. Ein halchin b'mammon achar reiv. We don't go, when it comes to money matters, after the majority. You need conclusive proof. So therefore, when it comes to bris mila, it's a question of iser b'goz reiv. Most children will survive. It's only me as the children never who pass away prior to 30 days. So that's enough, sufficient, what warrants a bris mila. But when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, it's a question of taking money and give it to the kohen. And by money we say, ein halchim b'mammon achar reiv. We need it to be 100%. That's why you wait 30 days. Anyway, it says the Gemara further, perhaps, kitanoi. The Gemara wants to say that this particular point of Rav Adabarava, that you're telling me a nafel, even though the kid is alive, is considered halakhically dead. And if you cut a piece, if you cut something, it's considered as if you're cutting a piece of meat, and therefore on Shabbos, and therefore it's not an aveda on Shabbos, is actually a machlekes tanoim. What's that? Could be learned regarding the chiyamus. It says in the pasuk, the chiyamus mina behema, if it'll die from the animal. Ashahilachem, and we learn a whole bunch of things from this pasuk, which says yomos mean from the behemoth, means not all the animals. Ashahilachem, that is for you, la'ochla, to eat, and so on and so forth. If somebody touches, they become tummy. So we learn a number of drushes from this pasuk. The fact is, mina behemoth, we already had, you know, by kabbonis, we had from mina behemoth, we learned that not all the behemoths. So mina behemoth, that means some behemoths are tummy, and some behemoths are not tummy. Which behemoth is not tummy? If, let's say, you take a cow, a kosher animal, that turned out to be a treifa, okay, and then you shechted it. The shechita, because it's a cow, even though it turned out to be a treifa, is no longer, the shechita at least helped to that extent, that it's no longer metame. And then it says, ashehilachem, because we already know, min abehem, we're talking about a kosher animal. What do you mean, ashehilachem, that is for you? So lachem, we say, is coming to add a non-kosher animal. If you have a non-kosher animal, and then it says, so we learn from there regarding Eivan Achai and so on and so forth. And here's talking about a non-kosher animal, a dead animal, which is tummy. And then it says, le'ochla. What do you mean to eat? So we already covered a kosher animal, that's treif, if shechita helps. Then you say a non-kosher animal, which is metame. And then you say, le'ochla, you can eat. So we say it's talking about an 8-month-old. A behemoth also has to live 9 months. It was an 8-month-old behemoth, which means it won't really survive. But right now it's alive. And the question is, if you shechted that 8-month-old animal, can you eat it or not? Or at least, is it metame or not? So we're saying here, the lahavi, to include a ben shmoina, an 8-month-old offspring, or a calf, she'ein shechitos mitarosa. Here we're saying that since it's considered a dead animal, if you shechted it, it doesn't do anything for it. If you shechted a treif, a cow, it's no longer metame. You shechted an animal, a kosher animal, that was 8 months old, the shechita didn't do anything for it, and it's like it's a dead animal, and therefore it's metame. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. However, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon, I mean, they say, shechitosoi metaharosoi. They say that, no, if you shechted the eighth metake, it's metame, but if you shechted it, then the shechita was effective, that it removed the tumor from it. The stain of tumah. So, what's going on here? My love, how come that's the argument? The one who says shechita is effective, sovah chayu, that it's considered, till it dies, it's considered a living animal, therefore the shechita can be metayu. Not like an adabrava. Umar sovah mesu, no, that halachically, even though it's walking around and it's alive, halachically it's considered a dead animal, and therefore you're shechting it, you shechta a dead animal. And it's exactly like adabrava that says that even that if on Shabbos you cut this baby that's going to pass away before 30 days, it's considered like a dead, it's like a dead child, and therefore you didn't do anything on Shabbos. Okay, that's the argument. Says Gemara, no, I don't have to necessarily learn this way, because I can learn another way. In fact, Probably it's not this way. And you know why? Because the Rav was going to say, if they're arguing it's a kosher animal, if it's a living animal, then why argue about tumah? Argue if you're allowed to eat it. You shechted the animal according to those who hold it's considered a living animal. Why can't you eat it? Is that either everyone agrees it's considered a nevela, a dead animal? So what's the argument regarding tumah? Something else. Amar Rav said, Rav, if that's the case that they're arguing whether the animal halachically is alive or not because it's walking around, and imifligi lein tumah tada, why argue and limit the argument to whether it's metame or not? Liflegi lein achila. Argue regarding eating. Ella the Kuli Alma, everyone agrees, Mesu. Everyone agrees the animals halachically said dead, it's an avail, and therefore it's a dead animal, and therefore you cannot eat it. So what's the argument regarding the shchita? Why do they hold that the shchita is effective? Sadly, they hold ketreifa. Why should it be any, if you a treifa ka? And if you shecht it, you remove the tumah, but you're not allowed to eat it. So same thing here. The animal is alive right now. Okay, it's an 8 month. Logically, technically, it's considered dead. But if you shecht it, it should no longer be a tummy. Treifa by treifa, laugh. Avagav de mesi. Even though it's, and we know that a treifa animal means, even though it's alive right now, it's definitely going to die. So therefore, even though it's physically walking around and everything else, because halachically we view the animal as if it's dead, and you cannot eat it, but the shchita is effective. No, so why should it be shchita asam taharasa? Hochanami over here also leishna, should be the same thing here. The Rabbanu say, no, you cannot compare an 8-month-old animal to a treifa. Why not? Loi domi le treifa. The treifa hoysla sasha koisa. A treifa is an animal that started out all right, and it contracted some kind of a blemish that renders it a treifa. So because it was a kosher for a while, so even though now it's treifa, by the shchita is effective. Because when it was kosher, the shchita would have been effective, you can eat it. So now that it became a treifa, the shchita is limited to only removing the tumor. Hai loi hoysla shas kosher. This animal that was born, 8-month-old animal, never was kosher. Therefore, never had a shchita warranted. Therefore, the shchita does nothing for it. Aye, what about in the case of chitema treifa mebet meikamem? What about an animal born treif? You're assuming that animal contracted the treifa mum later on in life. What about it was born with a hole in the lung or something? It was born treif. And yet we say that shchita removes the tumah. What's the difference then between that and an 8-month-old animal? So we answer, hasam over there, at least yesh b'mina shchita. The concept of a treifa animal where shchita is effective is correct. So even this particular animal never had a chance to have shchita, but that species, that sort of animal that's treifa, shchita helps at least to remove the tumah. Hocha ein b'mina shchita, by an 8-month-old animal, they'll always die and there never is a shchita for them. They never had a moment to have a shchita, and therefore the shchita is not effective. That's the argument. Nothing to do with Rab Adar Bar Ava. So the halachah of Adar Bar Ava, that a child, even though it's alive, if halachically it's considered dead, if you cut it on Shabbos, you're not even Aveda. It says in Gemara, Iboilu, I have a question. Mi pligi la bonalad of Shingablil, aloi. This is what we had before. Shimon ben Gamliel says, by a person, you have to wait. That if it's 30 dies before 30 days, it's considered like a nafil, it was always dead. Do Rabbanon agree or Shimon Gamliel? Or is it unanimous what he's saying here? So, for example, by an animal less than 8 days old, according to Rabbanon, can you eat it? If you shecht it, can you eat it? Shimon Gamliel says less than 8 days old could be a nafil, and you're not allowed to eat it till 8 days old. So, what does Rabbanon hold? Do they hold you allowed to? Im tim tzalem a pligin, if they say they argue halacha kemaisoi or ain't halacha kemaisoi, halacha shen gulil not. So Tashma Kamini, I'll tell you, we learned egel shenele beyamtiv. If you have a calf that was born on yamtiv, sheichtin oisei beyamtiv. A calf that was born on yamtiv, the question is it considered mukta because it was noilid, it was new, it wasn't around before? And they say, no, it's not noilid because already the animal was present, was pregnant in its mother. And since the mother was ready, you could have shechted the mother on Yom Tov, it's muchen. So therefore we say that the Vlad, the Uber, is also muchen agav imay, because of the mother. But what do we see from here? How old is the calf? 1 day old, and yet you're allowed to shecht it. Isn't that clear that we argue Rosh Hashanah? Hocha, the Gemara, no raya. Hocha, my skin, you know what we're talking about here? The kim lebe gavei shekol chadosha. The farmer knows that this animal definitely is a full 9 months, because you know when an impregnated animal. And therefore, remember again, all of these dinner aranefa is only if it's not sure if it's 9 months, but if it reached full maturity, then even if it passed, then it should be a healthy calf or a healthy child, and chas v'shalom passes away, child passes away, younger will say that it was a living person that passed away. We're not going to say it's an abortion or a nafil. Taking about further, Tashma coming from another price, we try and work out whether they argue Shimul or not. We learned, even in a case where we're not 100% sure it was 9 months, Bishavin, The din is that, you know, by a b'chor, you're not allowed to eat a firstborn, you're not allowed to eat it, have to go to the kohen, unless it has a mum. If it has a mum, then the kohen can eat it. But we say you're not allowed to go ahead and look at mumin on Yom Tov, because maybe the mum appeared on Yom Tov itself, so it means the animal was not set aside, was not prepared for shchita yesterday, because you couldn't eat it yesterday. Yesterday was a full b'chor, a healthy b'chor, and the mum only happened on Yom Tov proper, so it's muktzah. Now, what happens if it was born today? Let's say the b'chor is born on Yom Tov itself, then the animal is prepared, because muchan agav mimay, last night you could have shechted the mother, so the animal is prepared, and now it's born with a mum. So the din is that the rabbis are permitted to look at that mum to see whether it's a proper mum or not. And it's not like, normally it looks like you're fixing on Yom Tov. It's not like you're fixing on Yom Tov, because this animal was never a b'chor to be us in the first place, because it was born with the mum on Yom Tov itself. And how is that possible? So the Gemara there learns is talking about that the dayanim were sitting there by the post, by where the animal was, from the beginning of Yom Tov and onwards, and were watching. So Vishavah, they all agree, Sheim Noilad, born on Yom Tov, who umumi imay, it and the mum itself, so it was never kosher. Therefore, by looking at the mummy, you're not fixing anything up, because it was never usher that you're saying you're removing that issa. Because until it was born, everything was, you're allowed to shecht it, the mother, and eat everything. As soon as it was born, already had the mum. So therefore, Shazem in Hamuchan, as if it was prepared, so we see clearly from here, and it's only a day old, you're allowed to eat it. Again, Hachinami Shikolo Chadosha. It's talking about a case where you know for a fact that it's a full 9 months. Okay, Toshma coming in, I'm Yudim Shmuel. Halocha Kirshim Gamlil, Halocha Shim Gamlil, that by child you got to wait 30 days and by animal 8 days. Halocha Miklal de Pligi, Shma Minot. The Taka argue, but Halocha nevertheless is like a Shim Gamlil. And if you don't know if it's a full 9 months, then you have to wait 8 days. But if you know for sure it's a full 9 months, then it seems to be all right. Amar Abaye said Abaye. When we say a nafal, we're talking about that it died on its own accord. What about if Nafal Min Hagag, the child, an accident occurred? I mean, the child itself would have lived on. The only reason why it died is because it fell off the roof, a ochla ari, or a lion devoured it. Then divrei hakol chayu. Everyone will agree that this child is considered a living child. And even though it died after a week, after 2 weeks, it's still a living child, and a tragedy occurred. And if the mother is a yevama, she is exempt from being marrying her brother-in-law because she had a child. Ki pligi, the argument is, she piyik, gave, you know, a big genetz, a big yawn, a mace, and as a result of that, it couldn't breathe or something, and it died, which means it came from within itself. So Mar Savar Chayu, so this is the argument. One of them says, and Rashi explains, that it was already visible that the child wasn't full strength, because you see that it made one yawn and it died, which means it didn't have the strength to breathe and so on and so forth. So Mar Savar Chayu, those who argue will hold it's alive, Umar Savar Mesu. Another one holds that it's dead. Big Machlek is a shining. What about a child that was sick? Because some of the shining say sick is the same thing. The vart is if it fell off a roof of a lion, which means something extraneous occurred outside. But anything that happened from within the child itself proves the child itself was not really a living thing, and therefore there's no Avelis and all these other things, and doesn't help by Yibum. Others say just the opposite. Why do we, if Abaye felt that even a sick child, if a Abaye felt that a sick child is considered they say that only a case of yawning, because if a Abaye felt that it was a sick child, he should have said a child that became sick from a fever or something and passed away. By yawning, we're talking about not that the child became sick, the child was weak from the beginning. Like Rashi clearly states, you notice it was very evident that the child was a weak child. But if the child was normal and suddenly got a fever or a flu and as a result of that passed away, then it's considered a living child. The mind of queen knows the difference, the fact that the child passed away, lift him in a yibum, whether she's exempt from marrying a brother-in-law. Nothing in a gagi ochlari, fell off the roof. And what's the question? You tell me fell off the roof, or was it my devour by a line? Give it a hakol chayu, it's a living child. But Rapapa and Rabhun Yeshua, who were good friends, iklu, they once came to Beibrei Ravidi Baravin, to the son of the house of Ravidi Baravin, the Ovid Luhu, and he made for them igla tilsa, a third born, two opinions in the Rishonim, whether it's a third born calf, the third born is the best, or a calf that's a third matured, it's a little veal. Be Yamama de Shiva, but didn't wait for the calf to be 8 days old. On the seventh day, the Amni, they told him, E Israchitle Adl Urta, if you'd have waited just a little bit more till tonight, Havi Achilimine, we would have eaten from it. Hashta, but now,
Loyachilim, they won't eat it. Now here, shechting the animal is no different than falling off a roof or a lion eating it. And yet, what do you call it? So the chayda, this is mamash a case of falling over a roof, a lion eating it, because you shechted it. So how come they didn't eat it? You just said that something outside of normal of nature happened. You're saying that the animal is considered healthy and everything else. So why didn't they eat it? The guy shechted it 7 days old. So well, you're right. Let's reverse it. Keep ligi. Well, this is how it goes. If it gave a big yawn and then it died, Divrei Hakel Mesu. It never survived, because as I said before, you notice that it was weak from the beginning. That's the argument, fell off a roof or a lion devoured it. Marasava Mesu, Shimon holds that's still considered like if it's dead. And Marasava, another one holds that Chayu, that is considered a living thing. And a puppet of Yeshua, they ruled Rav Shimon Gamliel, that is considered, even though you shechted it, it's considered maize. The fact is it didn't survive 8 days. And the Rabbanim disagree, and they hold that that's considered a healthy animal. So Gemara tells a few instances. Breya de Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, the son of Bima Yosef, Isiyalad Le'ahu Yenuka, had a child, but Begoy Klos and Yemen, before the 30 days expired, Shachiv, this baby, Rachmon Islam, passed away. Yosef Isate Komis Abel Olayu, he was doing Avelis. Omer Le'avu, says father, Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, said to him, Tzavronuse Koboyes Lamecho. They used to have, Tosafot says they used to, you know, have a whole meal. They used to have, like a wake, they used to have something special for Avelim to eat, and Rashi says special sweets, they used to give an oval to eat. So it's Matami, it's not just a hard-boiled egg we're talking about over here. They used to make, so he said, are you so interested in that sweets, therefore you're going through the motions of Avelis? There's no Avelis here. This child passed away before 30 days, of course, Shimon Will is only an Eiffel. There's no Chiv Avelis. Amalei, he told his father, Kimli Bei Shekol Lechadoshav. I know for a fact that this baby was carried for a full 9 months, and if you're carried for a full 9 months, then we say that that even passed away young, he was a healthy child. Ravashi Iklubet of Kahana. Ravashi once came to the house of Rav Kahana. Isi Bey, this is not the same Rav Kahana that was a Talmud of Rav. Isi Bey Milsa, unfortunately, lost a child. Begoy Klosing again within 30 days. Chazi, he saw that Yosef Komis Abulala. He saw that he was sitting there and praving Avelis. Amalela Sovlama, don't you agree with the Hodam Ravino Machmul? Halocha Kirab Shimim Galil, Shim Galil. Amalela, he said, Kimli Begave, I know for a fact, Shikolle Chadoshev, that was carried for 9 months. Itma, we learned, okay, what happened in the following case? If a woman, yeah, was married to a man and then had a child, and the man died and the child was born and passed away within the 30 days. What do you call it? And therefore, it should exempt the woman from chalitza, the thing is, it passed away within 30 days. She didn't know. So the chatchila, she would have asked the Rav would have said, according to Shimon Gamliel, unless you know for sure that it's 9 months, you have to go through a chalitza at least. Now, the thing is, a woman who is a chalitza cannot marry a kohen. A chalitza midrabbon is like a get, and therefore she cannot marry a kohen. The situation here was that she assumed, she had a child, that she's free, and she married somebody. Of course, after she married, b'dieved, what should she do now? And then she found out that the halacha of Shimon Gamliel, that she shouldn't have married because the child died prematurely. So what happens? Itma, we learn, Meitz B'tach Shloishim V'omla, she went ahead in this gotcha, and she went and got married. Amar Avinu Avinu, some friend of the name of Rava, Im Eishes Yisrael, if she married a Yisrael, which means there's no problem whatsoever if she gets a chalitza, because a suffix whether she had a right to marry him, and then she marries this, she was Mekab, we're talking about she got engaged, so right after the engagement, she should go ahead and receive a chalitza from her brother-in-law, and then she goes ahead and marries, proceeds with the marriage with this Yisrael. But the problem is, Imesha's Kohen, if she got engaged to a Kohen, if she goes through the motions of a chalitza, what's going to happen then is that she cannot marry the man, because he's a Kohen cannot marry a chalitza. So then we're going to rely on the Rabbanon who argued with Shimon Gamliel, and they say that since the vast majority of kids are healthy, that she and they say it's all right. Ein cheletzes. We'll say it's not a nefil, it's only a chalitza. However, Rav Shravia mashmei de Rav Amar. Rav Shravia said in the name of Rav. This was Rav Vino said in the name of Rav. But Rav Shravia said in the name of Rav, No, achazu v'achazuch latzim. She married a kohen. Too bad. Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. Not because we're machmir like Rav Shimon Gamliel, which is the way Ravina learned. It's only a chumra, and therefore we'll treat the child as if he's dead, and you have to go through chalitza. It's not a chumra. It's actually a halacha. Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. Omar Ravina Rav Shravia. Ravina Rav Shravia. By the way, beur to Omar Rav Hachi. At night, you're right. Rava said what you said. And Rava had a habit many times that he was honest to change. If he realized that he changed his mind, he would tell them. But I said yes, it was incorrect, and he changed his mind. Rav Shrabi didn't believe him. Are you going to tell me tomorrow that we're allowed to eat trefa fats? In other words, once my teacher made a psak in Rabin, I don't believe that he would change it. And therefore, because I don't believe that he would change it, so what do you give me matter for tefer fats? Which in Mefarshim are wondering, what's Rav Shravi trying to say? Why can't he change his mind? But it's not so simple, because we have a concept that once a Rav asks something, another Rav can't come in matter, and the different reasons why, either because of covered of the first Rav, or because once a Rav labeled it aser, it becomes a chatich di yisura, which means that we confer on this item treif. Or this concept treif, and therefore the difference is whether the original Rav himself can change his mind. If you hold that he conferred on a treif, then he cannot change his own mind. But if it's just als kavod, of course he can change his own mind. There's no pchisas of kavod. There's no diminution of kavod if the Rav himself changes his own mind. So Rav Mashashi held that once Rav asked it, it's asr, and therefore Rav himself cannot change his mind. He said there's no difference than saying that treif of fats is mutter. Because once, you know, the halach is treif fats, Same thing here. Once Rav Paskin, that the halach is that the child, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, completely, and therefore she needs a chalitza, then that's the halacha. You can't change it. And Avinu says, no. The whole idea is that it's covered. And now, if Rav himself wants to change his mind, of course he can change his mind.
Didn't we learn once, I can't remember exactly which Gemara it was, but we learned once that there was a particular mayachal that one of the Amoraim was going to eat, and someone asked the shayla on it, they repudiated the shayla, they showed that it's kosher, but since it was already questionable, there was a question asked, therefore he didn't touch it.
We learned that in Chulin, something similar to that.
So, couldn't you say similar here, that once his Rav already said something that, you know, it's already...
Yeah, but Rav himself changed his mind. It's Rav who changed his own mind, and it's not about that particular case. This is years later, another case.
Yeah.
So that's... I mean, this is just the way I learned it. Obviously, there must be other pshatim as well. Not that I've seen any, but maybe the other pshatim as well. Rabbi Yehuda's matir. It says in the Mishnah regarding an andragonus. Andragonus needs a bris, and according to the Tanakhama, but he cannot do it on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, an andragonus can do it on Shabbos. And we had the whole discussion about our lost soy. Says the Gemara... we want to know whether is Rabbi Yehuda saying that andragonus generally has a din like a male or something else, or is just a unique case by Bris Miller that he holds that andragonus is like a zocher or like a vada and has to be gemalot. Not in all instances did he say that andragonus has a din like a zocher because he has a male member. Because we can say that then be erich in yerich. When it comes to Erchin, it says, you know, I take upon myself the value of that person, of a man or a woman, depending on the age. But what about if you take the Erch of an Andragonus? The din is that you don't have to give anything. But according to you, if Andragonus has a din of a Zachar, then you should have to give the value of a Zachar. It's limited only to a Bris Milah, because he learns from an extra pasuk by Bris, as we'll soon see. And how do you take another by Andragonus? There's no din of Erchin. The time you learn, has Zachar, it says in the pasuk. Hazocher says the male. So we dash in the male. Could have just said Vayerkecha Zocher. Hazocher loy tumtum vader. Not when there's a suffix. Not a tumtum, which means there's a skin covering it. We don't know what the gender is, or has both signs. Yochla would have thought lo yehei be'erichisha yehei be'erichisha. Okay, maybe we don't give him the title of a man, but let's give him the title of a woman. It says Hazocher. It says in the pasuk, "Hoyekcha Hazocher." And the next pasuk says, "Ve'im nekeva hi, ve'im." As if to say, whatever the laws are by Hazocher applies to nekeva. Just like over there, it has to be a vada Zocher. Here has to be a vada nekeva. Zocher vada nekeva dois. V'loy tumtum adonai tumtum and andragonus. V'stam sifro Rav Yehuda. Now we know that who wrote sifro, which is on Vayikra, is Rav Yehuda. So therefore, this
this braisa here, which comes, you know, I guess originally from the Sifra, is Rabbi Yehuda saying it, and it's the same Rabbi Yehuda. So clear, Rabbi Yehuda holds that by Erchin and Regin, this is not a zacha or a nekev. It's only by Mila. As we'll soon see why only by Mila. When we learn Hakol Chain the Kaddish, everyone is able to sanctify the water of a chattas by put the ashes in the water by paradum chutz mecheresh v'katan, not a cheresh, you got to be machshe v'katan, he said the katan is allowed to, but a poisel be'isha, but not by a woman, v'andreginus, and not an andreginus. Shema mino. So we see from here that andreginus, if anything, is like a woman, definitely not like a zocher. So how come by a bris mila we treat him like a zocher? Pshut Chiv says himal lachem kol zocher. What's kol? What's the kol coming to add? Just say himal lachem zocher. Kol comes to add andreginus. So he holds here genik. Tanakama says arlosa excludes andreginus, and he says kol comes to include andreginus. That's the machlekes. But everywhere else he holds it's not a zocher. By erchin it's not a zocher, nor is it in the keva. In other cases, by mechatas he says it's like in the keva rather than a zocher. Okay, we'll stop over here.